Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. My name is Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the topic of our podcast today is the insatiable Tarrere. Tarrere was a Frenchman who had an unusual habit of eating everything in sight. We're going to talk about his insatiable appetite, since this is Thanksgiving.
He was like Liberace in a room full of dicks, Timmy.
I would like to let me remind folks that we are a comedy podcast and we use adult language.
I maybe could have held off on that joke.
Yeah,
there,
it probably is a timing thing. So if you're offended by
if that joke
language
offended you, just stop you, now.
Yeah. You're probably already gone. Yeah. But so anyway, thank you for joining us. It is the day before Thanksgiving here, so we thought that we would address this topic because it's timely. And I would like to introduce my co-host, a man that really needs no introduction, a man who is known as the most dangerous man in podcasting today. It's been said that he is an oasis in a desert of despair. The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Not good, Timmy.
You're not good? No,
I'm not good.
Well, I mean, I thought you would be all, you know, I thought that you had a, you know, the last podcast was very cathartic for you.
I thought it was, and then people got all offended by my goddamn apology. I apologize.
You apologize just about to every group known to man.
Yeah,
that you've offended,
and people were mad about the. They said the apology was distasteful.
Oh, so
and disrespectful.
So would you like now to apologize for the apology?
I'm tired. You know what, you motherfuckers, it's Thanksgiving. You need to be thankful for some shit. You need to be thankful for the Colonel. Goddamn it. Quit sending me those nasty PMs.
Yes, and Brandy's not here, of course.
I'm thankful for that.
She's out, you know, doing woman's work, cooking, Colonel.
As she should. You know she ain't cooking. Her mom's cooking.
She's playing Pong.
Yeah, she's going to bring some fucking baby carrots or some shit and some ranch dip and say, oh, yeah, I did my job.
Yeah, probably so. Some Big K Cola or something.
Yeah. Some pizza flavor Pringles.
But Brandy's not with us, so it's just me and the Colonel today. So, listen, you want to jump into the story?
I'm ready, Timmy.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Well, it is Thanksgiving, and as I said, we thought this would be appropriate to talk about this guy, this French guy named Tarrere. That's what he's known by. No one really knows what his real name was. So we're gonna talk about him because he was an interesting character. As you know, today, Colonel, television is flooded with programs detailing people's eating disorders, everything from anorexia through, you know, my 600-pound life, where people are,
yeah,
you know, too big to get out of their
bed. I like to watch that.
It makes you feel good about yourself.
I do feel good about myself. I watch it, and I got a bag of Chips Ahoy cookies, and I'm like, look at you, motherfucker, eating lettuce. Look at me. I wish I could be Skyping with him.
Yeah. Some of them are pretty sad where they have to like put them in a truck and shit. Ugh. But anyway, television exploits those situations, of course. And then, you know, of course, Colonel, we have competitive eating like on 4th of July. You know, they have the hot dog
contest.
Uh-huh. So,
I think those people cheat, though, Timmy.
Why do you think they cheat?
They dip the buns in water and shit.
Oh, do they? Does that? What does that do?
So you don't have to chew so long and they can just swallow the bun.
But wouldn't you absorb water weight then?
Well, some of these people throw. I mean, these are not classy events, Timmy. They'll puke right in the middle of the damn thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a big deal on 4th of July. One guy's like won it like, he wins it like every year. He's like the favorite. I can't remember his name, but I shouldn't have brought it up. Anyway.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you see these guys, I mean, they shove the whole hot dog straight down their throat.
Oh, I know.
They make Linda Lovelace look like a fucking amateur.
Well, believe it or not, Colonel, eating for audiences isn't new. It was a thing that people did. It was a form of entertainment going back to medieval times. Where people were consuming, for entertainment purposes, helpings of rocks, spiders, snakes, and other poisonous things. These were showmen that kind of, you know, there was, I think, wouldn't the sideshows, didn't they have people called geeks that would eat anything
you put in front of, that's Logan. I got one of those at home.
Yeah, but he's got three boys. He's not a professional geek, though.
No, but when you got three boys, the youngest, the two other older boys are always like, Logan, I'll give you a quarter if you eat that. Look at that spider over there, Logan. I bet you won't eat that spider. Logan be running over grabbing the spider.
We had a kid in high school. We would give him a dollar, and everyone would put their whatever they had left over on their plate from lunch and just pile it on on a plate, give him a dollar, and he would eat it. It was so gross. But evidently, that's not that's nothing new. It used to be done for sport in Europe in the 17th century. There was a guy known as the Great Eater of Kent. That's a title for you. He was in the 17th century. He was an English laborer.
Who was Kent?
He was an English laborer named Nicholas Wood, and he would entertain fairgoers at county festivals by consuming 60 eggs, mutton. Do you eat mutton, Colonel?
I love me some mutton, Timmy.
Will you have some mutton over the holidays?
I will not have mutton. Renee won't cook mutton. Oh. She ain't much of a – she's not a very diverse woman, Timmy.
Oh, but you like mutton. You're a big mutton fan.
You know, this – I'm just going to tell you this story real quick, Timmy.
Sure.
One Thanksgiving, we had some – Renee cooks every year, and I don't know why. She goes out and buys a goddamn 24-pound turkey, and there's five of us. But one year I convinced her. I was like, God damn it, we don't need a whole damn turkey. I'm tired of slicing the thing, getting rid of it, you know, the whole thing.
Right.
So she decided she was going to get turkey breasts.
Okay.
And so we went to the butcher shop. And
I mean, it could be worse. She could have got McNuggets.
Yeah, it could be. But she's standing there looking at the, and she says, and if she would have said it all in one sentence, it would have not been nearly as awkward. But she picks out a turkey breast, and she's in there, and she's got this kind of, you know, long sleeve T-shirt on, but it's a little snug.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at the, she says, yeah, I think that I'll take that one. And, then she looks at the butcher and said, does this breast look big enough? and the butcher had to look at each other, and the butcher was doing everything he could to not laugh. And he said, no, I think that will be fine.
Okay. So anyway, the great eater of Kent, this guy named Nicholas Wood, he would consume 60 eggs, mutton, three large pies, and black pudding in a single setting, Colonel.
You think black pudding's chocolate pudding?
I think probably. I don't know.
You know the English people eat some weird shit though.
I never had mutton. I don't think I would like mutton.
I've had mutton, but I had it raw.
What is mutton? Is that lamb?
Yeah, it's lamb.
Okay.
And they don't run that fast. You can just run them down, take a bite out of them.
In the 18th century.
It made me spontaneously ejaculate when I bit the lamb to me.
Now you'll be apologizing. In the 18th century, a fellow named Charles Tyle of Dorset ate 133 eggs in an hour long, alongside large quantities of bread and bacon. So in 1792, a French showman named Defer ate a banquet in front of him that was packed in a packed house in Paris. It included dishes of tortoise, bat, rat, and mole. Ever had mole, Colonel?
When I was in Vietnam, Timmy.
You ate mole?
I ate mole. We used to eat rats.
I see. And there's Vietnamese rats.
Yeah.
They're spicy.
They are spicy.
Yeah.
And this was back in, I think, 1992, so I didn't really have to do it, but it was cheap.
Right. It had nothing to do with the war.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the war.
The entree included roast owl. Have you ever had a roast owl, Colonel? It's like chicken.
I don't know who would eat roast owl, Timmy.
And he had a dessert of toads adorned with flies, crickets, spiders, and caterpillars.
The fuck you need flies for? Would he leave the toads sitting around there all day?
I guess he just didn't like shoo them away. So anyway, the point of all this is that, you know, it was a form of entertainment to watch people eat large amounts of food and, you know, really grotesque sort of things in Europe in the 18th century. But probably the most amazing eater ever recorded was a guy named Tarare. He was an 18th century French showman, able to consume his own weight in beef by the time he was 17, Colonel.
Holy Christ.
That's a lot of beef.
That's like, yeah.
That's a lot of beef.
I've seen Logan consume his own weight in Pop-Tarts before.
It's unclear whether Tarare was his real name or just a nickname, but the phrase "boom boom Tarare" was popular in it was a popular French expression. Any time there were a powerful explosion, and they speculate it may have been applied to Tarare because of his flatulence, Colonel. Apparently he was
a boom boomer.
He would have gas quite a bit.
Put my finger, please.
Oui.
That is the colonel doing French. Put my finger.
So that was a phrase. So he's well known. And this, even though this was in the 18th century, this story is pretty well documented by scholars and doctors at the time, physicians at the time. What we know about Tarare was that he was born near Lyon, France, around 1772. His date of birth is unrecorded, and it's not known, again, as I said, whether Tarare is his real name or just a nickname. As a child, though, he had a huge appetite. By the time he was 3 years old, he was raiding his parents' small chicken coop and eating all the eggs before his parents could collect them in the morning.
Well, that sucks.
He would, Colonel, you're like this. He would drink milk straight from the cow's udder until it was drained.
I just like to breastfeed that little bastard.
He ate most of his waking hours when food was available. When it was not, he would eat grass, rocks, or whatever was available.
Okay, and for those listening out there, don't eat rocks because they're hard to pass.
Yeah, we'll get to that. That comes up. Actually comes up. In his teens, it is said he could eat a quarter of a cow, roughly his own body weight, in a single day.
Damn.
So.
And nobody liked to see it.
He likes hamburger, apparently.
That motherfucker out at the Chinese all-you-can-eat buffet.
No, you'd go broke.
You go.
You eat too much. By the time, well, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Now we got to apologize.
I'm sorry
again.
To all of our Asian friends.
Just the Chinese ones.
Yeah, all right, I apologize.
Yeah, the rest of you Asians, okay. We ain't insulting you. All just right. Toughen up.
By the age of 17, however, we know that he weighed roughly 100 pounds despite his incredible appetite and unusual diet. So he didn't, you know, he wasn't huge or anything, but he would grow his, we'll get into this, but his stomach would really grow after he would eat a huge meal. By this point, he had outgrown his family's capacity to feed him, and they...
You go!
Basically, what happened, they told him to leave because they couldn't feed him.
Well, hell yeah.
Now he was homeless at 17. He joined a gang of thieves and prostitutes, Colonel.
Sex workers, Timmy.
Thieves and sex workers.
Yeah. Write that down. That's another group we got to apologize to.
Who toured the French countryside... and with whom he begged and often stole food. I wish we had sex workers that would tour the countryside here.
I know. Come to us.
I guess with Backpage, you don't need them anymore.
Well, that's true. Do they still have Backpage?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Okay.
It's my social outlet. Are you kidding me? It's where all my friends are hanging out. When there was no food available to steal, Terreur would rummage through trash bins to find anything edible, Colonel. Eventually,
he was the first dumpster diver, Timmy.
He was. Eventually, his appetite was discovered by a traveling charlatan who employed him as a warm-up act for his show. You know, this guy's was, you know, he would sell, you know, like, this guy's a medicine man, basically.
A charlatan?
Yeah. Terreur would draw in crowds through his feats of eating. He would start small by eating corks and stones. By the end of his act...
Got to warm up.
By the end of his act, he was eating baskets of apples whole. And finally, whole live animals without chewing.
Now, you do not... Okay, I was going to say, you don't want to do that because you eat a mole live.
Uh-huh.
It will eat right through your stomach, Timmy.
Yeah. No, not mole, a whole live animal.
No, but if you eat a live mole.
Okay.
They got those sharp little paws and those pointy little teeth.
You want to chew. At least 30 chews per 30 bite.
30 chews for bite.
Yeah.
The more you know.
The act didn't always go as planned. And in 1788, while performing in Paris, he suddenly suffered a severe intestinal obstruction. It is believed a large stone became lodged in his belly. Members in the crowd took him to the local hospital where he was giving powerful laxatives to shift the obstruction.
I wonder what kind they had back then.
I don't know.
Milk overlay magnesium.
Yeah, I don't think so. Doxalax back in 1788? Doubt it. He quickly made a full recovery and proved that he was healthy by offering to eat the surgeon's watch and chain, to which the doctor, unimpressed, replied, "If he does, then I will simply cut him open to get him back."
That doctor wasn't bullshitting around.
Terreur became best known for swallowing live snakes and eels whole. Ugh.
Damn.
Although careful observers suspected that he crushed their skulls with his teeth before he slipped them in his gullet.
Did you see the guy down in Kentucky, Timmy, that got up in a rattlesnake's face and was sticking his tongue out at the rattlesnake? Because, you know, rattlesnakes, they do that to check the temperature or whatever. Fucking rattlesnake bit him on the tongue.
Was he just screwing around, or it wasn't like it was a religious thing or anything?
No, he was just fucking around.
That's stupid.
Yeah, you wonder what, you don't think rattlesnakes do bite.
So apparently they were not, you know, the crowds thought he was, fixing this in some way because he wasn't really swallowing these snakes. He was crushing their skulls with their teeth. I mean, either way, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's hard to diminish the fact. Right. Oh, no, it wasn't really a live snake. Right. It was a partially dead snake.
Terreur was really fond of snake meat, though. Does he ever eat snake, Colonel?
No.
Me neither.
I left that to Liberace, Jimmy.
Despite his unusual diet, Tarrere was slim and of average height. Like I said, he only weighed 100 pounds. He was described as having unusually soft hair and an abnormal wide mouth.
This kind of turned me on a little bit to me.
In which his teeth was heavily stained and in which the lips were almost invisible. So, sounds like quite the handsome man.
Yeah, sounds like somebody from Deliverance to me.
Now, when he had not eaten, his skin would hang so loosely that he could wrap the fold of his skin from his abdomen around his waist. He was able to wrap his belly around his whole body.
Stretch his stomach out. Yeah.
When full, his abdomen would distend like a huge balloon, Colonel.
Damn.
The skin of his cheeks was wrinkled and hung loosely. I mean, this guy sounds like a mess. His cheeks were so stretched out that he could hold 12 eggs or apples in his mouth at one time.
Now, this guy's body, Timmy, mm-hmm. was hot to the touch, and he sweated profusely. Constantly, you know what happens to people like that. They got that foul body odor, Timmy. And ain't nothing worse. I mean,
he sounds like a real catch, doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't. Oh, God, body. You know, where we work, you know, we have that resource room, and sometimes people will come in, and they will stay behind for 3 days.
Yes.
You know, no matter how much Febreze you do, no matter what.
Yeah, but, and I don't think probably in the 18th century that hygiene was a much, you know.
No, when you was known for your foul body odor.
Yeah, it probably was pretty foul.
According to the London Medical and Physical Journal, Timmy, he often stank to such a degree that he could not be endured within 20 paces. So he probably won some.
I wonder how much of it was, you know, just poor hygiene, or maybe it's something to do with his odor that he was. I mean,
yeah, from what he was putting
eating
out.
Or
yeah, yeah, because you get people with different nationalities. You know, if you eat a lot of spicy foods or whatever,
yeah.
You can often tell that.
Yeah.
Now, this smell would get noticeably worse after he had eaten, his eyes and cheeks would become very bloodshot. A visible vapor would rise from his... This motherfucker's like a supernatural swamp creature.
A visible vapor.
A visible vapor was coming from this sumbitch. He'd become lethargic.
He's like Pigpen from the Peanuts.
Yeah, except Pigpen just had dust around him. This guy had stank around him. So, you know, this guy was worse. He was worse than the decaying vagina.
Oh, I don't know. That's decaying vagina is pretty bad.
Yeah, but it doesn't have a visible vapor coming up off of it. And that's, see, if you had the visible vapor coming up off the decaying vagina, Timmy, you'd be okay. Because like I said,
you know, if you ever meet a woman and she's got a visible vapor coming from
her crotchal area,
yeah,
just leave her alone. Now,
and that goes for men as well. For you ladies ladies out there.
If you got the crotch cheese as a man and it's coming, you see, when you're looking
ladies
at them and you can't really, it looks like a black top in the summertime.
Right.
It's like, no, leave that alone. But he would become lethargic and he would belch noisily and his jaws would make swallowing motions.
Oh my God!
And one of the reasons,
quite the charmer, it sounds like.
One of the reasons, yeah, this is probably shit he did not put on his Tinder account.
No, I don't think so.
He suffered from chronic diarrhea, which left him constantly dehydrated, which will probably account for the vaporous thing rising from him.
May well be.
Because I don't know, did they have toilet paper back then, Timmy?
I don't know. I don't know what they used.
But despite his large intake, he did not appear to either vomit or gain weight. Aside from his eating habits, his contemporaries saw no apparent signs of mental illness. How in the fuck do you not? This motherfucker's eating a live goat. How do you not see signs of mental illness? Or neither did they witness unusual behavior in him. Now, these are the kind of friends, Timmy, that I want to have. Because you can do anything in the fucking world.
There's no intervention going on
exactly.
There, apparently.
When I go home everything I do is considered unusual behavior. This motherfucker is eating frogs with flies on it, and they're like, oh, that's cool. There ain't nothing wrong with that. So, but other than his apparently apathetic temperament, he had a calm demeanor, so that's where they figured he was fucked up.
He was laid back.
Yeah, he was a laid back guy.
Like a chill.
If Terrar's ordinary appearance was unusual, the sight of him eating was considered downright unsettling. He would assume a frenzied appearance.
See, you don't want, you may want, his first dates probably best start with coffee.
You know, I'm wondering if this motherfucker wasn't a werewolf. Because here we go. His ordinary appearance, if it was unusual, the sight of him eating was downright unsettling to me. Mm-hmm. He would assume a frenzied appearance. His sweating would increase, and his cheeks and eyes became vivid red. Now, that sounds like a goddamn werewolf to me. I think Terrar was the first werewolf. Hey, and was he in Paris?
He's in France. Yeah.
Paris, yeah. He was a French werewolf in France. He was quick and active when hungry.
French werewolves are in France. That's true.
It's the American werewolves that travel.
I got you.
Well, he was quick and active when hungry, which included immediately after eating a normal-sized meal. However, once he had gorged himself, he would be overcome by the desire to sleep or else fall into a soft trance in which he just stared ahead, belching and swallowing. Now,
that's not unusual. You want to take a nap after you gorge yourself. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably doing that this holiday.
Let's go back to his friends not noticing any unusual behavior in him.
Okay.
He would snatch birds from the trees to eat them.
You have to be quick, man.
And he could vomit up indigestible hair and fur, much like the pellets of an owl. Now, his friends didn't see that was peculiar behavior.
Well, he spit out the hair and fur.
If this motherfucker was a carny, if he was in the freak show at the carnival, Timmy, all the other geeks would be like, God damn, that motherfucker's weird.
He's disgusting, yeah. Bastard.
Yeah, but his friends, yeah, that's the kind of friends I want to have. Under the observation of an astonished doctor, he once grabbed a cat that strayed too close, tore open its stomach with his teeth, drank its blood, spontaneously ejaculated.
No, he did not.
Oh, that was the other guy, wasn't it? I'm sorry. He then consumed the remainder of the corpse, regurgitating the fur later. Now,
that fur, that's got to get stuck in your throat.
You get those hairballs and shit, yeah?
Hairballs.
that's why it's important. Again, women, hygiene down there is important. Because otherwise you get a big hairball you got to cough up later. If you're going to do the 70 porn thing, men ain't going to go down there. This is a more you know moment.
It really is. We probably shouldn't be talking about it without a female in the room to tell us how poorly we're behaving.
No, but I think we know.
No
the
one likes
anatomy.
The 70s bush. No one.
No, it gets tickles your nose. It gets all pokes you in the eye. And then later on, you
I went out once with this Chinese lady, and she had the 70s bush, and I was like, oh, my God.
But at least it was a soft, fine.
She was beautiful. She's nice and everything. But, you know, I guess it's a 70s bush is still popular in China.
Oh, yeah?
I guess.
Well, razors are expensive.
I don't know. We've offended the Chinese enough in this episode. Yeah. I guess we should move on.
3 billion of those people, and we not nary. But you know,
3 billion listeners that we're losing.
I'm pretty sure the government ain't letting our podcast in anyway.
Probably not, and that's probably a good thing.
But cats became his favorite meal when other food wasn't available. He was recorded as having eaten 174 cats in a year. Who keeps track of that shit? I mean, did he have a fucking notebook?
He probably had an app.
Yeah, I mean,
MyFitnessPal. Yeah, yeah.
Well, cats get a lot of protein.
Well, they got a lot of calories too.
Yeah,
depending how large they are.
He disliked vegetables, Okay. But he would eat
four. But he'd eat a cat. But no problem. Don't give him a pear or don't give him green beans. But.
Is that broccoli? But give me the cat, please. I'll take that cat right over there.
Give me the Persian cat. Over
there. I know. They come to you. Could you imagine going out to eat with this sumbitch? I mean, he'd be sitting in one of those outside cafes, poor motherfucker walking his dog down the street.
Ooh, that looks delicious.
Torreira's like, I'll have that, please. Just yank him off the leash and tear into him. Telling you, the motherfucker was a werewolf. But anyway, he would just be disgusted by broccoli, but he would eat 4 to 5 pounds of grass each day.
Well, that's cheap. I mean,
well, grass is cheap.
Well, probably you could probably like mow someone's lawn for free. Yeah. You know, you could probably get paid for it. I mean, that'd be a good deal. That's a sweet deal.
And pity the fucking cow that was grazing in that field with him.
Is grass satisfying? I mean, I've never eaten grass.
I don't know, but you know what? I'd hire that son of a bitch to take care of my front yard just once a week. Tartar. That's what we should just. He's Tartar from now on. All right, Timmy.
Tartar.
As his appetite grew, he increasingly preyed on small animals in this way. Until his arrival in the neighborhood, he would be preceded by a rush of stray dogs that had learned to flee his ass in terror.
So, you know. They say that you can tell when there's going to be a storm, how animals, yeah. Like my cat goes crazy.
They knew when Tartar was in the air. Yeah. That hair all got raised up and shit. Like,
eh. And Rudy would be like, I'm out of here.
Hey, you know, we got a coyote on our street.
Do you really?
Yeah, we just got a warning the other day that there's a coyote
what the
on
hell?
The street.
Is it?
I don't know, fucking Wile E. Coyote.
I was going to say, does he like have like an Acme t-shirt or something?
No, what they've done is they built so many subdivisions out in Colerain.
It's encroaching
a place
on
like
their.
It's driven them further into the city. And
well, you need a roadrunner there so that he has something to do.
I got a shotgun, Timmy. Fucking coyote show up. Raccoons think they got a rough. I might have big-ass coyote pelt up.
You need to get, you set your trap. You go to acme.com.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do,
get a
Timmy?
Big boulder at the edge of a cliff.
I'm just going to paint a tunnel on the side of my house and let the coyote run into it.
There you go. That'll work.
So as his appetite grew, he did increase his prey on small animals. Until his arrival in the neighborhood, he would be preceded as the dogs learned to run away. Now, Dr. Baron Percy, a noted surgeon who had become his principal doctor and biographer, regarded him with a mix of horror and pity, much like the rest of the world views
sounds
us
like,
to me.
I was going to say, that sounds like a lot of my dates feel about me.
Exactly. So,
horror and pity.
He said, horror, pity, and cash, Timmy.
All right.
Let a person imagine that all domestic and wild animals, this is what his doctor said.
Okay.
Let a person imagine that all domestic and wild animals, the most filthy and ravenous, are capable of devouring, and that they may form some idea of the appetites as well as of the wants of Tarare. And that didn't make a goddamn bit of sense. His
basically, he's saying
crazy.
That Tarare eat anything.
Yeah, why? Motherfucker
that's
just
not
saying,
nailed down.
This son of a bitch, if he can catch it, he's going to eat it. Why? See, that's why people.
How
are
would
like
you like to have
people.
Him over for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I would. Motherfucker,
you'd have to. Would have to clean up.
Somebody finally eat that fucking cranberry shit that Renee makes every year that nobody even touches.
Fruitcake would be gone.
Yeah, the fruitcake would be gone. Yeah, it's like you want dark meat or white. Motherfucker, you ate all the meat. What? There ain't no meat left. Goddamn, you didn't even leave the dog a bone.
Dog? Is this dog? There's a dog here?
Not anymore. That motherfucker went somewhere else for Thanksgiving when he heard you was coming. Now, the cause of his behavior is not known. He was studied by many noted physicians at the time, and despite eating vast amounts of food, it was noted that by doctors studying him that he never vomited.
Oh, well.
Other than when fed large amounts of roasted or boiled meat.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah, that will do it. He showed no outward signs of ill health, and doctors observing him noticed that his eyes was lively and his tongue clean, Timmy.
Well,
it's the only clean thing on this son, bitch. His pulse was
I know, I like a lady with lively eyes and a clean tongue, girl.
Well, yeah, but I don't want the vapor coming up off their body, Timmy.
Right,
and I don't want the bitch to eat my cat. Well, if she ate McGee, that'd be okay, but leave Lily alone. I like that cat. His pulse was regular at around 84 beats a minute. That's
not bad.
That seems kind of high to me.
Oh, shit. That's mine. That's around mine. Mine is it? Like, yeah. Always like that.
84?
Mm-hmm. Always.
Mine's almost always at like 61, 62.
That's good. That's like an athlete. But so, mine's always been. I mean, even like when I was a teenager, it ran that high.
Now you say it's like an athlete. I just assume my heart's failing to me.
Well, it could be that, too.
It could be that, yeah.
It could be like an athlete. Whose heart is failing.
Whose heart is failing, yeah. His muscles were normally formed, but observed by doctors to be weaker than usual, although during his time in the Army, he marched 25 miles a day with no ill effects.
All right.
That's because he was going 100 yards a time after a squirrel, but...
I bet the Army was happy to get him.
Yeah.
It's been hard up for recruits.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay. He'd charge over that front line and eat five Germans.
So, nothing like a... Nothing like a Prussian on the side, a little Prussian.
Yeah, would you like Russian dressing on that? No, I just want the Russian, please. Now, there were other documented cases of similar behavior from this period, and all of these people's friends thought they was really fucked up, but not his. But none of the subjects other than Tartar were studied. There have been no modern documented cases resembling Tartar. It should be noted that hyperthyroidism can induce an extreme appetite, rapid weight loss, profuse sweating, heat intolerance, and fine hair.
Yeah, so that sounds like kind of his symptoms anyway.
That sounds like me without the rapid weight loss.
To the extreme. Yeah, but remember he only weighed like 100 pounds.
Yeah. Now in 1788, with the French Revolution full in swing, Tartar decided to leave the streets of Paris and join the army. He was caught up in the spirit of the revolution, Timmy, plus an army would provide him with a steady meal.
Yeah, that's important.
However, these measly rations were not enough to satisfy his appetite. You know none of his army buddies wanted to sleep around him.
MREs probably just didn't do it for him.
They did not do it. They say our army travels on its stomach, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Now, soon he was carrying out tasks for other soldiers in exchange for a share of their rations.
Oh, that's smart.
Later, he would get more depraved and would... How in the fuck could this son of a bitch, aside from eating humans, get more depraved?
We'll read on.
He would... Well, apparently he could, Timmy, yes. He would scavenge on the dung heap, garbage bins, and gutters for food. He was picking the corn out of turds, Timmy. For fuck's sake.
First of all, I hate even the thought of a dung heap.
I know.
But that's the last place I'm going to look for a meal.
Yeah. Motherfucker was eating grass before. Now he's just going through the shit pile to see what he can find. Now, Tartar shocked his new comrades with these unusual eating habits and his voracious.
He did.
He finally got a group of friends that was like, nah, this is fucked up. No, you can't be doing this shit around here. He eventually was granted double rations. Using his pay to buy additional food whenever possible, he nonetheless suffered from extreme hunger. Tartar preferred raw meat to cook, of course he did. While his favorite dish was raw bullock's liver. What the fuck? I'm afraid to even look that up. He would eat any available, much like Liberace, he would eat any available meat, Timmy.
Okay.
Liberace is dead, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we won't get sued.
Okay, we won't get sued for that.
I didn't meet him, but I ran into him once.
Did he?
Yeah, it was on Fountain Square in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. You know, Cincinnati is the home of Kimball Pianos, mm-hmm. and he was in town for their 100th anniversary. And I'm walking on Fountain Square, and there's this big limo parked in front of the square. And the door opens up, and I'm walking by. Fucking Liberace gets out. I'm like, what the? And it was like, remember that, you know, they made that movie about him and his boy toy?
Oh, yeah.
It was his driver. He was there, too. His Scott something, mm-hmm. his boy toy. Yeah. He opened the door for him and stuff.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah. It was strange. It was like in the 80s or something.
Oh, I bet you. That's back in his handsome period.
No. This was close to when he died, I think. But it's just weird. It's like my first day in Cincinnati. I'm walking down the street and I got a Liberace.
You think you're in like New York City. Yeah. You finally made it big.
Oh, Liberace.
It's like fucking Green Acres and all of a sudden you're saying Liberace. Because exactly. I imagine Liberace didn't come down to your neck of the woods.
No, he didn't get to Portsmouth too often. But he was all decked out. I mean, he had his sequins and all that shit.
Oh, yeah. He was always decked out.
Yeah.
Now, while in service on board the French ship Hoche, a sailor's leg was shot. Oh, no, fuck no. We're not going to go here. Oh, no. Okay, so this poor son bitch, the sailor gets his leg shot off by cannon fire, and Tarare grabs the severed limb and begins to gnaw on it until a crew member wrestled it from him and threw it into the sea.
Well, that's a waste.
Well, it does seem like it.
I mean, the fish are going to eat it now.
Well, I believe it was just probably a little unsettling to the people around him. You know? He finally ran into a group of friends and said,
This is inappropriate behavior.
Yeah, I know.
He was probably pissed at the guy that threw the leg in the ocean, though.
And it was probably a big chubby leg. Had a lot of nicely marbled thighs.
Well, it doesn't say whether the guy was killed. I mean, it might have been the guy might have still been alive. Yeah.
I think this is back before they could reattach it, and he was going to end up with a peg leg anyway. But anyway, it was observed after going to bed, generally at about 8 o'clock, he would begin to sweat profusely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody knows what was really going on under the covers there, so he might have been just...
rubbing one out. You know?
Rubbing one out, thinking about a nice, juicy, marbled thigh.
Or a Siamese cat.
he was thinking about eating some pussy, Timmy.
Maybe.
He got all excited. But, so anyway, he's a sweaty guy.
Yeah, he had this weird sleeping habit.
After 1 or 2 hours of lying awake and perspiring, he would fall asleep before waking at around 1 o'clock and being extremely hungry, regardless of what he'd eaten before going to bed. At this time, he would eat anything available, and if no food was available, he would smoke tobacco. I'm surprised he didn't eat that shit.
That doesn't seem as satisfying.
No, seriously, though. How'd you like to be this motherfucker's cabin mate? You done watched him gnaw on somebody's goddamn leg.
You wouldn't be afraid to go to sleep.
Well, you know he would. No,
you know he's gonna wake up.
I'd rather be in prison with the biggest, meanest predator that you could ever. Because at least they're gonna let you live in the morning. You know,
right?
You might be a little sore, but
yeah.
So at this time, when he woke up, he'd eat anything available. So that's why you had to sleep with one eye open around this sumbitch. At around 2 a.m., he would go back to sleep and wake again between 5 and 6, sweating again, hungry again.
Well, that had to be miserable, though. He didn't get much rest if you're... He was always hungry, I guess.
Yeah, the sweating would stop and it'd start again whenever he would start to eat, Timmy.
Okay, so this guy's a mess. Now, suffering from extreme...
No, Timmy, I'm a mess, all right? I will say I'm a mess. This guy... is a complete, you know what? I will go to our page and you will find some people who are a mess, right? And we love the people on the page.
On our Facebook group page, right?
But anybody listening, if you have ever grabbed the shot off limb of one of your comrades and started gnawing on it, please let us know so we can give you a special shout out and the recognition you deserve for being the most fucked up person we have ever met.
Now, all these late nights, Colonel, you know, because he wouldn't sleep very well, he was suffering from extreme exhaustion, and he was finally admitted to the military hospital. As a result, the military quadrupled his rations, but even that would not satisfy him. He scavenged for scraps of other patients' rations and even stole specimens from the hospital's lab to eat. I don't know what kind of specimens they'd have, but I'm guessing urine and I don't know. The surgeons could not get their head around his appetite and decided to conduct experiments. And they called in a specialist, a Dr. Curvell, and two specialists, actually, Dr. Curvell and Baron Percy. Percy was the surgeon in chief of the hospital.
I don't trust anybody named Percy.
Well, he had to take what he could get. The first experiment was to allow him access to the meal of 15 laborers just outside the hospital gate. So they're going to let him eat as much as he can. They're just experimenting here. Right
now you got 15 hungry, pissed off laborers.
Not getting a lot of work done.
Yeah.
Tarare ate the entire meal of two large meat pies, plates of grease, and salt.
This back before Lipitor, too.
Does Renee cook plates of grease and salt? Does she serve it like this?
I don't want to talk about the Mrs. Colonel's cooking because sometimes what she makes ends up being just a plate of grease and salt, but we just eat and go on.
He drank four gallons of milk in one setting and then immediately fell asleep. So that was enough to kind of...
to soothe the savage beast, Timmy.
But as we said, his experiments took a darker turn when he was presented with live animals. At one point, they presented him with a live cat. He tore open the cat's abdomen with his teeth and drank the cat's blood before eating the entire cat, not including the bones. So he left the bones, Colonel.
Oh, yeah.
Soon after, he would vomit up the fur and the skin. Following this experiment, he was offered a wide range of live animals. They're just having fun now. Yeah, now the doctors.
Now they're just fucking with him. Yeah. You know what? You know what these doctors are doing? They're like getting all the other doctors in like, hey, check this out. And then they got bets going on the side like, think he'll eat this? You know what would have been fun? Uh-huh. To see this motherfucker run across a porcupine or a honey badger.
Well, they gave him his favorite snake. Remember we said he was his favorite. And he would eat it live. He would eat snakes live. Lizards, eels, and puppies, Colonel.
Oh, puppy-eating motherfucker. Now, see, we've covered some nasty-ass people on our show, Timmy.
We have.
I mean, Ted Bundy, but this motherfucker
ain't
puppies.
We haven't covered Ted Bundy, actually, but...
We didn't do Ted Bundy?
No, Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay, Dahmer.
Dahmer. But none of them, not a single one, Timmy, was a fucking puppy-eating motherfucker. All right?
This guy is a puppy motherfucker.
He's a puppy motherfucker, and he should be punished justly.
That should
have
been the title of this episode.
You know, the puppy eating motherfucker.
Anyway, he would eat all of these animals that the doctors were putting in front of him. Eventually, it was decided that his appetite, Colonel, could have military applications.
Well, I don't know why they didn't see this in the beginning. Just go see that machine gun nest over there. Go eat that motherfucker.
No, it was a little before machine guns, I think. But they thought he could carry messages. He could eat messages and carry them across enemy lines. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but then you got to wait for him to shit them.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what he did. So one of his commanding officers told Tarare to swallow papers of key strategic importance, and they were in war Germany at this point. Take them across Prussian lines and deliver them to their troops that were cut off by the Prussians. They put it in a wooden box with a message, and then he ate it, and the plan was for him to take it over to, you know, to comrades on the other side of the line, present himself as a German peasant so he could get through enemy lines. And then, you know, then he'll pass this wooden box, I guess. I don't know how you pass a wooden box. And the message would still be legible, and that's how they could.
Oh, man.
That's kind of smart thinking there.
Yeah, they sure him.
He was asked to repeat this feat in front of the assembled generals of the Rhine army. And as a reward for, you know, they tested this. And as a reward, he was giving 14 kilograms of raw bull lung, which he ate in front of the generals. Ever had raw bull lung?
I don't think I have, but I'm often not sure what I'm eating when I'm at home.
Thanksgiving is not till tomorrow.
I know one thing for sure. I ain't never ate no goddamn puppy.
All right. So on his first mission, he was sent to deliver a message to a French officer held captive across enemy lines. He dressed as a German peasant and went behind enemy lines. However, nobody had thought to think of the fact that Tarrer could not speak German.
Nine.
The Prussians stopped him, questioned him, and when he could not speak German, they discovered that he was a spy.
Oh, the poor puppy-eating bastard.
So they strip-searched him. They whipped him. But he did not turn over his cargo. But a day after being beaten by intelligence officers, he finally confessed to being a spy. The Prussians tied him to a and waited for his digestive system to deliver the goods. When it complied, however, they were enraged to discover that the message inside the box, they believed, was not of crucial military intelligence. What had happened?
It was a knock-knock joke, Timmy.
What happened is the French were just testing this theory. They didn't really put an important message in there. It was just a benign message. And the Prussians guards were upset about this, so they beat him. They beat him brutally and subjected him to a mock execution, finally letting him go. But before they let him go, they were shocked at his appetite. They put him on double rations, which were, of course, insufficient, and they increased his rations until eventually he was granted rations of 10 men each day. Rations, at that point, prisoners of war in that period were fed by their home countries.
I don't know how that worked,
but the home country would, you know, so... The French were still on; they were still on the hook for his eating, I guess. Now, while a prisoner of war, Tari remained hungry, and was recorded as having eaten the prison cat and at least 20 rats, which had strayed into his cell.
Well, he had to eat the cat, or the rats wouldn't come in.
He also ate medicines for other prisoners in the infirmary who refused to take them.
Now, see, I can see you doing that. No.
He suffered.
What is it? I don't know. Here, let me have it.
He suffered no ill effects, though. It was also recorded that he would regularly eat the prison's candles.
Mm.
And it is, and it, they gave him beer back then because the water was
really clean.
It wasn't healthy.
Yeah, now this motherfucker's eating eels.
But when his ration of beer would run out, he would resort to drinking, you know, water, which was not very safe.
Yeah.
Eventually, unable to feed Tarrer, the Prussians released him back to the French. They said, okay, you know.
Fuck this. See you later.
Bye.
Go back. Here, shove this box right back in his ass and send him on his way.
Now, following this episode, Tarrer went back to the military hospital and pleaded for Dr. Percy to help cure him of his appetite. Percy put him on a course of Laudrum, which failed. He also, and you know, if opiate don't work, man, there's something serious wrong.
Yeah. And that was some powerful shit back then.
Oh, yeah. Percy would also try tobacco pills. I don't know what that is. Wine vinegar and large quantities of soft-boiled eggs to lessen his appetite, but none of them seemed to work. He would sneak out of the hospital colonel to search for food outside the butcher shop and fought with stray dogs for scraps. Probably fought for the dogs as well. Yeah, taking you may, if you're a dog,
if
you might want
dog,
to just
you
let
got
it go.
A lot of balls going up against that son of a bitch. Because once he gets done with the scraps, you better hope he ain't still hungry.
Okay, so he's in a hospital here. Now it takes a darker turn, Colonel.
Oh, here we go.
His appetite led him to drink the blood of patients undergoing bloodletting. You know, bloodletting was a thing.
When they put the leeches and shit on you, yeah.
He was also caught several times in the hospital morgue.
Jesus Christ.
Trying to eat dead bodies.
What the fuck?
Several of the doctors complained that Tarrere would be better off in a lunatic asylum. But Dr. Percy defended his presence at the hospital. After a while at the hospital, Colonel, a 14-month-old child mysteriously disappeared.
It was only a matter of time, Timmy. I mean, who did not see that coming, Timmy?
Now, that doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
If,
now,
if you're Tarrere and, you, and a 14-month-old child
anything
goes missing,
on two or four legs goes missing, they're going to point at you.
Exactly.
And it ain't even got to have legs. If a snake goes missing, they're looking at you. Now, Tarrere, he's immediately a suspect for eating the child. Now, Percy was unable or unwilling to defend him this time, and Tarrere was booted out of the hospital. Now, we don't
know. Well, better safe than sorry.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to him in the period in between, but 4 years later in 1798, Percy was summoned by him to the Versailles Hospital.
Okay.
Tarrere was gravely ill. He suspected due to golden fork that he had swallowed. What the fuck is golden fork? Was it an actual golden fork?
Yes, a golden fork.
Was a motherfucker in a museum and he just swallowed the fork too? But he had swallowed 2 years previously that had gotten lodged. Percy diagnosed him with the consumption.
Tuberculosis.
And about a month after Percy was notified of his admittance, Tarrere was struck with terrible diarrhea.
Oh.
Oh, and soon died, Timmy.
Oh.
His corpse rotted extremely quickly.
To no one's dismay.
Yeah, well, to no one's really big surprise. I mean, when the motherfucker was already walking around half dead with the vapors coming off of him. So his body was dissected after his death. His gullet was found to be abnormally wide, much like that of Liberace, so that when his jaw was open, the surgeons could see all the way into his stomach.
Oh, it's like a snake.
Yeah, his liver and gallbladder were also found to be abnormally large, much like my gallbladder, which they yanked straight out of my body with a can opener. His entire body was found to be filled with pus, and his stomach was enormous.
Oh, my God.
Most of his abdominal cavity and covered in ulcers.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah, now his body, oddly enough, Timmy, emitted a terrible odor. His pus-filled, swollen, vapor-throwing body had a terrible odor, which surprised no one. According to the London Medical and Physical Journal, the stench of his body was so unsupportable that M. Tessier, chief surgeon of the hospital, could not carry his investigation to any further extent.
He's like, fuck it, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Motherfucker dead. And then Tarrere jumped from the examining table, took a big chunk out of... didn't happen. But that's what you expected from this motherfucker, because I believe he was a zombie all along. Now, the cause of his extreme gluttony has never been diagnosed. According to experts, no case resembling his has ever been published in modern medicine. And while the reports of his eating habits are difficult to believe, they were recorded by some of the foremost medical authorities of this time. So don't question our credentials and our research. We ain't bullshitting you here. This really happened.
Yes.
This is a God's honest truth.
Yes.
Motherfucker ate puppies.
Yes. Puppy. So, puppy-eating motherfucker.
Puppy-eating motherfucker. So we got proof of this shit is what we're saying. Yeah. We ain't making
this shit up. It's well-documented. Yeah. Yes.
Although there remains no clear answer to his condition, medical experts believe that it was a result of a damaged part of the brain which caused polyphagia.
Which
means excessive hunger, Timmy.
Oh. So, Colonel, what are your final thoughts of the insatiable Tarrere?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna have the three boys at the house here, and those motherfuckers, they, now they don't eat the dog.
Right.
You know, I got to give them credit for that. Since they've been little kids,
restraint.
We've had two cats, right. We've had a dog. They've not eaten any of those. Okay. We even had actually rabbits for a short period of time until we found out that the fucking pet store, we had those little Scottish dwarf rabbits.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, don't worry about it. They're two females. They'll get along fine. And I built this fucking rabbit condo, Timmy, for my garage. It's two floors, had chicken wire. I mean, they could play all over. These motherfuckers will fight all night to me.
All
right. They'd fight like cats and dogs. So I had to finally separate them. Then one day, Logan walks down to feed the rabbits, and he's like, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but it looks like Lucy's having babies. It was a male and a female. They weren't fighting. Those rabbits were fucking all night. They were fucking like rabbits. I thought they was keeping me up fighting. They was keeping me up fucking, Timmy.
Well, somehow that's better.
If I would have had Torreira there, he would have ate through the wire and the rabbits.
He would have.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that we've covered, Timmy.
Right.
A lot of things.
Yeah, Albert Fish.
Albert Fish.
Uh-huh.
But you draw the line at eating a fucking puppy, Timmy.
Puppy-eating motherfucker.
Puppy-eating motherfucker. I mean, just come right up. It's like, here, boy. what kind of fucking savage does this? Yeah, I mean, that's just kind
of...
It's,
so far, this is... of all the episodes we've done, this is guy that disgusts you more than any.
More than any.
More than Carl Panzeran.
You know, Panzeran at least... this guy acted like these... Everybody knew Panzeran was fucked up.
Well, he got raped by hobos.
He did. This guy didn't get raped by no hobos. He didn't get raped by no cats. He didn't get raped by no puppies.
Right.
You know, Carl Panzeran got raped by hobos. It affected him.
Uh-huh.
He lived the rest of his life trying to get even with these hobos.
Uh-huh.
What a fucking puppy ever do to this motherfucker? He's having... Tarare is having puppy tartar. I just can't get on board with that, Timmy.
I understand, Colonel. We would like to thank all of you. We want to wish happy Thanksgiving to all of you, especially those who are on our Facebook group. We thank you for making every day fun. You can always go on that Facebook page, Colonel, and there's always something to laugh about. And there's just wonderful people there. So we'd like to wish all of them a very happy Thanksgiving, as well as all of our listeners.
Yes.
And we want to say we are very thankful for our Patreon supporters who allow us to keep the show on the air. Thank you. Thank you so much. If you would like to be a Patreon supporter, you can go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Or just a wee little bit to me.
Everything helps. And we hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And Colonel, you got some shout outs for our Patreon
For our Patreon sponsors. And this week we'll put up a link for Patreon and make it a little bit easier for you if you like what we're doing. And it's... You can give us $1 a month. That's just fine with me.
That'd be perfect.
So, you know, we'd like to thank the Patreon supporters. And we'd like to start with two really of our longest... time listeners and maybe our first Patreon supporters, Timmy, were Alicia and Chip.
They were. Yes. Thank you, Alicia and Chip. It was great. You know what? It was really fun meeting them here during the
TwinCon. It was. I didn't get to spend much time with them or talk to them.
They're a very neat couple, and I hope to get to see them again at CrimeCon in May.
Yeah. Now, Jim Moyer, yes, Tommy Lane, Jason, of course, Dykes, James Seabright, lovely Aaron Fowler, Nene, of course. You got our Nebraskan girl out there, Shelly Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Bridget Bernard, Jennifer Svoboda, Maggie Glover.
Hey, Maggie.
Lovely Maggie Glover.
Yes.
Stacy.
Talented Maggie Glover.
Oh, she is incredibly talented. Marsha Boris, out prosecuting the bad puppy-eating motherfuckers out there. Marsha, you take care of business out there. Stacy Alsop. Christine Howa, the lovely Jody Wells, Daniel Sweet, and Amber Sweet. We got them double teaming us there.
They're twice as sweet.
They're too much, but don't let this motherfucker get by you, because I don't know if he had a sweet tooth or not.
I don't know.
Sounds like he did anything.
Yeah, well, except he didn't like vegetables.
Yeah, Cheryl Weldon, Anderson.
Even Tarare would not eat fucking broccoli.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, him and George Bush. Now, our lovely friends from They Walk Among Us, Ben and Roseanne.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Although I got a bone, bone to pick with them, Timmy.
With
I got a
Ben
big
and
bone
Roseanne,
to pick. Yes, I
how
do.
Can you do. They don't have Thanksgiving, I don't think, in England, or it's not the same time, but.
Oh, don't they?
But we're very thankful.
We're thankful
for their
friendship. Yes. Except, again, I got a bone to pick with them.
Okay, what's your gripe?
I bought They Walk Among Us shirt, Timmy.
Oh, my God, I have one, too. I need to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
I got one.
Do you look anything like Ben?
No.
No, neither do I.
Yeah.
I believe it's deceitful advertising, Timmy.
Were you thinking you were going to look like Ben?
I thought I might look like Ben.
Yeah, I look like a old middle-aged man, portly middle-aged man.
My t-shirt should say, They Walk Among Us Not For Long. but anyway, we love Roseanne and Ben. So.
Yeah, they're very supportive to the show.
Laura Violet. Michael Deo, Kelly, Kelly Schrett, Karen Widener, Callie Jones.
The lovely Callie Jones.
You know, Callie Jones is the funniest motherfucker I ever met.
She is funny. Yes.
I mean, she's the funniest person.
Sure, I would call her motherfucker, but she's
okay.
Funny.
You know, I'm just on a roll because puppy eating motherfucker. So Callie Jones is the funniest ginger I ever met.
Lovely lady.
Joseph Kern, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greenope, Mike from Pleasing Terrors, Sarah Bloom, of course, my girl Sarah, Amber Krupp.
Sarah! Sarah is very active on her page, Facebook page, and Sarah, I really appreciate all you do.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the lovely Amber, who we hope to get to see sometime, hopefully at CrimeCon next year.
Yeah. Mistress Vader. We got Ron.
We got a Mistress Vader on
it. I know. I like that.
I know.
We got Diane from Now American History Podcast.
History Goosebumps.
Joe.
Oh, Joe Hopkins from
Now American History Podcast. I'm getting my history podcast
and
confused.
And Diane Student from History Goes Bump.
From History Goes Bump. We got Rebecca Omelette.
Yes.
Cheryl, of course. Catherine Cock Garage Richardson.
You know, Brandy seems to like to say that.
I know. Brandy's a dirty, dirty woman to me. Fiona Crisp. Laura O'Reilly.
I like Fiona.
Fiona, we were talking about
the
best concerts the other day.
Uh-huh.
Fiona put Springsteen.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she see him in Malaysia?
I do not know where she saw him, but if she said...
And then she lived in Malaysia?
She lives somewhere across the world, but she's a traveler. You never know where she's going to end up. Donna Curran. Of course, we got... John and Sue Story, Christine Bourgeois.
Yes.
Maja. Anon. I really like Anon.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. But you know what? I put a long rambling ass post up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anon jumps in and says, condenses my whole post down to like three sentences.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, that's what I tried to say, except you used like 2,000 less words than I did, Anon. He's a very smart guy.
He is a smart guy.
Kimberly Cameron, of course. We said History Goes Bump. Elise, Amber Trevino, Annette Petray, Elise, Amber Scoville, Jahara.
I want to thank Elise because this is her first Thanksgiving with her son.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
So, Elise, we're thinking of you down there in the Ozarks.
Yeah, we, Markia Smith, and Dr. Jeff and the lovely Don Chestnut. Chestnut and their podcast, Jeff's Poetry.
Jeff Poems by Jeff, I think.
Poems
and
by
then,
Jeff.
But I love their Backroads History.
Backroads, yeah.
He did an episode on the Reagan assassination, which is really good. I would suggest anyone who likes history check it out. It's Backroads to History with Jeff and Don Chestnut. They did it, and they both do a great job.
Well, I believe, you know, Jeff's a pretty smart guy, but I believe Don's his brainsy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Andrew Happ, Karen, the lovely Karen Barnes, who is my favorite. Rachel Flynn, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strap, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher.
Now, see, Shirley Strap, they've already had Thanksgiving in Canada.
I know. Quit trying to double dip, Shirley. God, you already got
now
your
she'd
damn
be, and you know, she
free
would be,
college
she
and
would
socialized
be upset
medicine
at
Tar
Rare if he ate squirrels.
Oh, damn right he would. It's hard to catch a squirrel, though. I seen my cat one time. I seen him in the front yard just in his hunting mode.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, he was all over this squirrel, Timmy. He leaped on this squirrel for about a second and a half, and he realized he had just hit a fucking buzzsaw. And this is a cat, Timmy, that has brought possums to my porch. He's caught bats. He's killed snakes. He's killed rabbits. He hit this squirrel to me. He didn't want no part of this fucking squirrel. So he just...
Squirrel's going to be tough.
He jumped. I've never seen a cat jump backwards before, but he jumped backwards. So let's see where we leave off. Todd Long, Lydia.
Our buddy Todd Long?
Yep. Lydia Fisher, Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Hi, Melissa.
Brittany Irvin, Jennifer Siemens. Haven't seen Jennifer or Cindy Lou in a while.
Or Linda.
Or Lindy. I hope they're doing well. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Kristen, Heather Poole, our friend from the Vanish Podcast, Marissa.
The lovely Marissa Jones.
Lovely Marissa with just, you know, if you follow the Vanish page and you follow Marissa, Marissa had a baby not too long ago. Cutest little boy you ever seen.
Yes.
I mean, just as cute as you're ever going to find. Zachary. Christy. Christy from Canadian True Crime.
Christy Lee.
Single-handedly, Timmy, turned Canada turned them from foe to friend for me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I am very pro-Canada now.
Well, I think before you didn't realize they had serial killers up there. And now that you're informed that they have some sickos up there, you kind of like the country better.
Well, I know. Actually, Christy's just a very attractive woman.
She is.
So I just went with that.
Attractive women, you know, I tend to like podcasts with attractive women.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I like all podcasts.
We got, of course, speaking of attractive women.
Yes.
Our friends over at Insight, Charlie and Allie.
The lovely Charlie and the lovely Allie. Allie from Australia, Charlie from Kansas City, and the one of the best podcasts out there, Insight.
Tracy Smith. Jess from Kiwi Crimes.
Yes.
And last, Timmy, but not least, and I should not even have to say his name to our listeners because he is loved dearly by every single listener.
Yes.
Rudy the Wonder Dog, Timmy.
Rudy the Wonder Dog. Keep him away from Tyrae.
Rudy will fuck Tyrae up, Timmy.
Tyrae is a puppy-eating motherfucker.
Yeah, Rudy ain't no puppy. He come at Rudy like that. Uh-huh. That motherfucker going to be... Rudy be picking up his leg and he gnawing on it, and Tarte be like, oh.
We want to also say happy Thanksgiving to our good friend, Jen. Wicks, Jim Wicks, Tennessee. The lovely Lady Beverly.
Oh, yeah, lovely Lady Beverly. And of course, Dottie, happy Thanksgiving. We really do the show just for you, or at least I do. I know Timmy tried to trip you and push you down the stairs
That's not true.
But we hope you're healing up well, Dottie, and we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And not just me, but every single person on the page. Really, if we had a popularity contest on that page, it'd be Dottie.
Yeah, everyone has been very nice and giving her well wishes. And she's on the mend. She's feeling better. And she's getting there. It's going to take a little time because it's an injury. It's a little slow to heal. But happy Thanksgiving, Mom. And, of course, the lovely Nina Anstead from Already Gone.
Nina?
Yes.
Nina is one of the... Nina is just the greatest voice in podcasting, if you ask me, Timmy.
I agree.
I mean, she's
although
just,
Ben is pretty good, too.
Well, yeah, if you have to divide them up into categories.
Okay.
But could you imagine if Ben and Nina did a podcast together, Timmy?
It would be wonderful.
Yeah, it'd be too much for us.
All right, so we'd like to thank all of you for listening, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
Good day.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.